This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. As families continue to stay home in order to slow the spread of coronavirus, many parents have had to take on a new role, that of educator. And in normal circumstances, that is a big lift. At least in my house, it's a big lift. So then you add a global pandemic to that ask, and it can be overwhelming for families. However, the Idaho Education Association, which is the state's largest professional employee organization, has continued to be a resource and an advocate for education during this time. Joining us live today to talk more are IEA President Lane McAnally. He's a former sixth grade teacher in the Boise School District, and IEA and West Ada Education Association member Sherry Belknap, a third grade teacher at Pioneer School of the Arts in the West Ada School District. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
So, Lane, first off, for folks who may not be aware of the IEA, can you just give people a little bit of information about what your organization does? And part of that really is advocacy work.
It is. So the IEA is the largest educator association in Idaho. We represent all educators, both certificated as well as classified people. So anywhere from teachers to custodians to lunch people, food service people. So we represent all of those people, and we do a lot of advocacy, but we also do a lot of professional development for our members, and we provide them with resources, especially in times of need like this.
So Sherry, you are a third grade teacher, and you have had to adjust to this new normal of learning and teaching. I'm curious to know, A, how you're doing, but how are your third graders doing with this?
Well, it was a big jump in the beginning, but we immediately rallied together with our teams and our principal, and we came up with some learning resource things. The very first thing that we did was call every single student to say, hey, isn't this crazy? How about that earthquake? And, you know, how are you feeling? And don't worry, I'm still here. And to make sure parents had opportunities to reach us as they needed as we go through this process.
And Lane, as I mentioned earlier, you were a sixth grade teacher in the Boise School District before you came president of IEA in December. You know, what are your thoughts right now about how we've had to shift how kids are being taught right now?
You know, I'm really impressed with what our educators around the state have done to come up with creative, innovative ways to, like Sherry said, stay connected with their students, whether it's phone calls or Zoom meetings or Google Hangouts or walking around the community and leaving chalk messages in driveways. Our educators are going above and beyond to make sure that the students are being taken care of. Our educators want to make sure that the social emotional needs of our students are taken care of before they move on to that academic need. During this crisis, you can only imagine how nerve-wracking it is for our students to not be able to go to the schools and interact with their friends and their teachers. And so we want to make sure that they're doing okay socially before we worry about them academically.
I do want to talk, I do agree with you on that social and emotional aspect, but I do want to talk about the academics part of it, because there seems to be a glaring knowledge now of how public education is frankly underfunded, especially in the state of Idaho. We have had districts that have been able to onload, you know, online learning much quicker than other districts. And Lane, I mean, in your opinion, I mean, is that because that, I mean, you can only do so much when you only have so much money to spend?
It is, and a lot of districts around the state rely on levies to even supplement the funding that the state provides. It's really, it's bringing out that glaring inequity amongst the different districts, our rural districts who don't have the capability to provide hotspots or the laptops for the students to do online learning or doing packet work. And those educators aren't being able to interact with their students and help them with the work because it is just paperwork. And so it's really highlighting the need for Idaho to fully fund public education.
And beyond that, as you mentioned, is those hotspots, right? It's that technology issue. And I mean, for example, in West Ada, I mean, Sherry, you guys didn't really come back to school officially until I believe it was April 13th, because it took longer. You are the largest school district in the state of Idaho, and there are students who have a lot. There are students who live out of cars, and they do not have access. So I would want to know from both of you, you know, how do you advocate for more, you know, in particular, like just connectivity?
Well, it's absolutely a challenge, I will say. West Ada has, I believe, 53 elementary schools alone. So you've got a lot of diversity. You've got socioeconomics. You've got some people who have access to technology, some who don't. So the biggest factor in determining how we proceed is equitability. We want to do our best to provide, and we also have a new audience. We don't have just the audience of our students. The materials that we're presenting out, whether a district is doing it online or in packets or a combination thereof, our audience is now including parents, because we can send the information and the practices, but we have to also make sure that it's understandable and it makes a clear connection to previous learning and learning forward. And we also don't even have the accountability that they're necessarily doing that. And technology is a tough one, because each district has their own IT capabilities, internet access. Some people use a Google platform, which is great, but if we don't have the IT to back it up, then that's not a platform you can use. And West Ada typically uses Microsoft products, and that's what we're supported in, and have very similar video calling and a lot of programs that way too. But it's tough, because even in some, our school, I would say is probably a mid-high socioeconomic, almost everybody has a laptop or at least a smartphone, but not everybody has a laptop and a smartphone.
And that's the difficult thing also, is the families might have a laptop or a smartphone, but they might also have three or four children that are in school, and they don't have enough technology for all their students or all their children to be on a device for 4 hours a day working and doing their schoolwork. But it also highlights that there's no replacement for our classroom. This is emergency learning, mm-hmm. and it's not the best. We're doing what we can, and we're finding creative and innovative ways to reach our students. But like I said, there's no replacing that classroom where there's the hands-on learning, where there's that face-to-face interaction with your students.
You know, I would so agree with you. I mean, I've got a sixth grader and a second grader, and as much as they complain about school and going to school, I have heard more about how much they miss actual school, even though both my kids do live learning. I mean, especially my middle schooler, he sees his teachers every single day, right? But it's still not the same.
It really isn't.
It's not the same for teachers either.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I love talking to my students. We've got some pen pal things going on through the mail, and I use an app where parents have access to me 24/7. They send little video clips and things. But having us all be together in a discussion, someone asking a question that someone else didn't think of, and often the kids will surprise even me and ask a question that is amazing and opens up a whole new discussion of inquiry into whatever we're talking about. And those are the kinds of things that you can have some of those in an audio fashion, but it's just not the same as in person. And looking them in the eye and kind of that thumbs up, you've got this. And if it's not okay, then you can come and ask for help, immediately being available to them. And so those are some of the things that we worry about too, is, you know, are they getting stuck and frustrated? And they can reach out and send a snapshot of the paper that they're working on, but it's just not the same.
Yeah, mom and dad are frustrated too, let me tell you.
yeah.
Well, you know, you brought up, but that idea of frustration though, Sherry, and making sure that kids are doing okay. And Lane, this goes back to that social emotional aspect of it, because across the state, you have kids who have special needs. I mean, special education. You have children who need free and reduced lunches. How do you make sure that those needs are being met as well, because some of these kids, as we all know, when they come to school and they get lunch, that may be the only meal that they get.
You know, districts around the state have worked with the educators, and they are coming up with great ways of making sure that our food insecure students are getting fed, both a breakfast and a dinner or breakfast and a lunch most times. Smaller districts around the state are having their school bus drivers deliver lunches to the school bus stops. There are pickup sites all around the Treasure Valley for school, for lunches. And this, it doesn't, they don't worry about where the student goes to school. They're providing lunches for kids that are 1 to 18 years old.
So bottom line for both of you, I think that this has opened many people's eyes about education and how we educate here in the state of Idaho. What do you want to see happen from this? Because I think we are learning a lot.
So I think it highlights the hard work and the dedication that the education professionals are doing around the state. It's highlighting the need for funding public education to the best of our ability. I know right now we're looking at possible cuts because of our economy going down, but reminding our governor and our districts that we've got reserves, and those reserves are often called rainy day funds. And if this isn't a rainy day, I'm not sure what is. This is an emergency. And so making sure that when students come back to school, they have the same level of services that were provided this current school year is going to be very, very important.
And will you be advocating for school to start on time and normal come the end of August?
We're going to be advocating to do what our health professionals say is the most prudent. We don't want to have schools reopen just to have a spike in this come back and we have to close schools again for a couple months. We would rather follow the professionals' advice and open schools when it's safe to open schools.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today and talking about this and giving us a little bit more perspective as to what the districts are doing, what teachers are doing. This is a whole new world for all of us. So thank you so much. We've been talking with IEA President Lane McAnally. He is a former sixth grade teacher in the Boise School District, as well as IEA and West Ada Education Association member Sherry Belknap. She's a third grade teacher at Pioneer School of the Arts in the West Ada School District. Thank you both for your time
today.
Thank you.
I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.